This year is sponsored by Oren Finkel and Yaakov Deer. Oren is sponsoring this because he made him a Siyam on the Dharam. We exerted to finish many more Masechtos. The topic that we're speaking about this week is the topic of Tsar Bala Chaim. Now, when it comes to the topic of Tsar Bala Chaim, it was inspired to me by the fact that I was asked once by my yeshiva to take the boys fishing. And another Rebbe in the yeshiva said, how could you go fishing? I told him, what's wrong with fishing? And he said, the fish get hurt, so you're wasting, you're hurting them, you're killing them for no reason. They're over Tsar Bala Chaim. Naturally, whenever you hear something like that, especially when you hear something that you may perceive as being befrumped or frummy, you always go back on that task. You don't know what you're talking about. So, however, after looking through the sugya, without any agenda, you're just there. We have to start learning sugyas just to say, what does the Torah say? Instead of what are our ideas? Our ideas, everything comes from the Torah. Do you know, there used to be a statement said by certain Zionists. They said, Torah Eretz V'Lashon, land, Torah, land, and language. That was their motto. But in reality, that's a misunderstanding of the way things are supposed to be, because we don't have a land without the Torah. The Torah gives us the land. In the Torah, it tells us the land. The Torah gives us the language. So it's not independent. Right? Exactly. So let's start off with in this week's parsha that says, "Kitzira chamor seinach roivet tachas masoi." If you see a donkey of your enemy, that it's roivet underneath the masa, which means it's overloaded and it can't hold the load. So, b'chadat ma'aziv loy oziv tazim imay, you're required to help him. This soine is a soine Yisrael, Mar Pesachim brings down, that the soine that we have over here, the enemy, the Yiddish, you may not want to help him, but Halacha is to help him. It's to help the animal. So there's one din of other tazav imay to be able to make sure that the loads aren't bothering the animal. That's in Parshas Mishpatim. Now there's another pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze, which speaks about Hakim Takim. What does that mean? Te'ina. Kisira es chamor achicha oisheri noifun badera. If you see the donkey, the brother, or the ox, it fell on the road. V'salamta mehem Hakim Takim imay. Rashi explains, that's referring to that if you have something that fell off the animal, you're required to put it back on the animal. I want to tell the Olam a thing that I hold as a nate that happened to me in my car. I was running a camp in Philadelphia a bunch of years back, and I had my beautiful 2000 Camry. Maybe it was a 2006 Camry, I forgot. And while I was driving back, it was in front of me a truck. And in back of the truck were these crates. Were these crates. And I was going perhaps 85 miles an hour. One of these huge crates fell off the road right in front of my car. And I saw it, and there was nothing I could do. And I smashed into that crate, and that crate went into smithereens. It went into thousands of pieces.
You were so fast, you were gone?
Thousands of pieces. And driving a mile down, what happened was, I saw the guy putting back all the crates that were just all off, putting back on the truck. So that would be a modern day te'ina. Somebody who put his suitcases on the top of his car and it fell off. Are you ready to help him put it back on? That's what the case of Tehina is. Now, the simple question that we have to ask ourselves is, Tzar Bele Chaim, is it the Oraisa? Is it the Rabban? Question number one. Because there are certain times when something is the Rabbanon that you could be makel on things. Is there any concept, question number one, is it the Oraisa or the Rabbanon? Question number two. If it's the Rabbanon, are there times that will be makel under the Rabbanon? For example, if you have an animal that is pain because it needs to give its milk and it can't, so let's say on Shabbos, are you allowed to have a goy go ahead and milk the cow? Or milking is a malacha. Are you allowed to have a goy do it, which is the Rabbanon, and if it's a deraisa Tzar Bele Chaim, then maybe the Tzar Bele Chaim, that's deraisa, could take away through the guy doing the act of nursing, which is the Rabbanon, or maybe not. That's another question.
What's the answer of milking? Pita?
Yeah, so...
I think it's even important.
So the question is, the guy is doing it, it's deraisa. The guy is doing it is the Rabbanon, because Amir al-Nakhri is only a shvos, telling a guy to do it. Talk about the, why would a guy be able to do a rabbinic isser, or is an isser to do it? The answer is because Tabachim is the right, so the right to push away to the Rabbanah. Another question, question number three is, what about a person sees ants on the floor on the street? Is there any issue whatsoever, the person who gets enjoyment in hearing that crunch, the crunch of the pickle, no, I mean the beetle, and you want, is there any isser because of the tabal? Is there any isser because you want to enjoy yourself? Is there any such thing like that? Question number three. Question number four. Person has mice. That's an island, unfortunately. And please, anybody listening to the shir, don't take what I'm saying so seriously. The shir you should take seriously, but what I'm about to say now, Staten Island has had a mice issue in certain streets. And the question is getting rid of the mice, like killing the mice, does one have to go out far and like take the mice far away and not kill it? Or could one conveniently kill it? So these questions are questions that we have to ask ourselves. Then the famous question is hunting, fishing, is there any prohibition, yes or not? Everybody hears of a tshuva. I have a rule. When everybody says that it's a tshuva, it's the famous thing that nobody knows. So learn the tshuva and see what the tshuva has to say. So we're going to say a few different sources. We're going to go to a Gemara of Matzia, and then we're going to go to an Igros Maisha. The Igros Maisha is very important because the Igros Maisha is in two places. Obviously, when I say obviously, because most of the things that Ramesha says, or at least many of the things that Rav Moshe says, people argue with. So let's start off with a pasuk in Parshas Balak, famous pasuk by Bilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Bilam's eyes and he saw the donkey that he hit. And the donkey opened up his mouth. The Malach said to Bilam, why did you hit three times the donkey? Why do you do that? And the Medrash brings down in Parshas Balak the source for Tzar Bele Chaim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tzar Bele Chaim, Deraisa, Dechsiv Almal, Kisa, Sassayim. So the Medrash brings down that Tzar Bele Chaim is Deraisa from this story. Why did you hit the animal? That means you hurt the animal. It's a deraisa. Beautiful source that it's deraisa. However, although the Medrash says that Tzar Bele Chaim is deraisa, it is not so pasha from the actual Gemara. It is not so pasha from the actual Gemara. Before we go to the actual Gemara, the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim brings down that Tzar Bele Chaim is deraisa, and the Rambam says a reason for it. So the Rambam brings down this Medrash as well, that Abba Chaim is derived from the story of Balaam. And we have over here the Ma'ariv Nebuchim written. Abu Amram, Abba Chaim derived. Mimash never like this that it says, why did he hit your donkey? Why is there an Isra of Tzar B'Lachayim? In order for us to not be cruel people. So it's a very interesting thing. The reason why the Rambam says it's also Tzar B'Lachayim, you could say, but how could you hurt animals? How could you make animals have pain? You can't make animals have pain because they're creation. The Rambam doesn't say that, Mamish. The Rambam says the reason why is because we cannot be cruel people. It's not about, well, the animals shouldn't have pain. It's rather about our midas. When it's talking about total, you can't hurt an animal for no reason. Al nifl ba'dinas brahmanas, the person has to have mercy. So we see how the Rambam is saying that the reason is because we have to be merciful people. But the Rambam stuck in that if there's a reason somehow, it would be mutter to give the animal pain. One more shiloh, which is, are you allowed to do testing on animals? Testing on animals cause the animal's pain. Are you allowed to do that? So and then the Rambam ends off saying that even when it comes to shechting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that one has to shecht in a way that it's going to cause the least amount of pain to the animal. This is the Rambam and Meir Nevuchim. The Sefer Chassidim brings down the Tafresh Samach Vav, which we have written, brought down over here, that he says like this, Kol Maisa Garmus Sha'odim Gair Mitzal Chaveri Nenash. Any time that you go ahead and cause pain to your friend, you get punished. You cause pain to your friend, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get pain. The same thing is going to be to an animal. We see that he's putting in tzar of a person and tzar of the animal in the same category. For example, somebody puts on an animal a load more than the animal could take. Or, so you hit the animal, also eating as a din, shari tzar b'lachayim d'araisa. Sefer Chassidim, also Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, a Rishon, says, pasten the tzar b'lachayim d'araisa. And he brings down the Bilam, k'siv b'inyan Bilam, amai kiseh t'asencha. Says the Sefer Chassidim, an add-on, u'chenegesh amr la yesh cherev yodik yate irak tich, k'energa b'cherev. The fact that Bilam told the donkey, if I would have had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you. Because he said that to the donkey, Bilam was killed by the sword. So we have the Medrash saying Tzar B'Lachayim is Daraisa from Bilam, the Rambam saying Tzar B'Lachayim is Daraisa from Bilam, and the same Chassidim saying Tzar B'Lachayim is Daraisa from Bilam. However, if you look in the actual Gemara, we'll see that it's not so posh. The sugya of Tzar B'Lachayim is brought down in a couple of places. The main sugya is in Bava Metzia, and it really spans an entire daf of Gemara, or most of a daf of Gemara. What we're going to do is we're going to go through some of the Gemara. We're going to skip around to give ourselves a little bit of an idea. So we're going to start off with Daf Lamed Beis, where there's an underline on the paper where it says, the first underline, Parokutan, Afil Arba Chamisha Pam Kai. Let's say he took it off, put it on, even 4 or 5 times, you're mechuyus. It's not just one time. It's not one time. You're required to help as many times in order to be able to help this animal. What about a person who is a zaken or a chayla? A zaken or a chayla. Is he mechuyus to go ahead and help out? So that's the next part of the Mishnah that we have over here. The Mishnah says like this. Let's say a guy says, well, you have a mitzvah to go ahead and do pre-cantina. You have to help me out. I'm going to sit on the side and I'll watch. I'll watch the show. So the Mishnah, before the second underline, says, Halach b'yashu levi amra ha'ilva lecha mitzvah im retzayim kolefer parot patrish namra imay. The guy has to help you. It can't be that the animal just is collapsed under the weight of the load. And he tells you, you're the one that has to do it, not me. Because you have the mitzvah. It has to be imai. The owner of the animal is required to help the person helping him. If he's a zaken or he's a chayla, he's a chayla.
Even if he's going to hurt himself?
Well, obviously it's not if he's going to hurt himself. And we're going to have to see this halacha, how this halacha pans out. The Mishnah goes and says that it's a mitzvah from the Torah to do prika, which means taking off the load that, on the collapsed animal, but he doesn't have to put it on. He doesn't have to do te'ina. And the Gemara is going to ask him that. We have a pasuk that says, you're not able to. What are you talking about? Of course you have to do te'ina because it says you have to do. Put it on. Hakim takim imay. So let's look at the first wide line of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and we're going to move very quickly now. But we're going to bring out the building block. It's on the bottom of the first page, page number one. It's still on the bottom of the first page. The Gemara said like this: Mitzvah Sater Lifrak of Lilitain. The Gemara wants to know: is a mitzvah to take it off, but not to put on? The Gemara says, what does that mean? If you're going to say it's not to put it on, take on at all, you're the pasuk. So the Gemara says, El mitzvah, that next underlining, Atayra Lifrak Bechinam, V'loy Litam Bechinam El Bescha. You have to put it on, but you're allowed to charge him. So if the guy needs help loading the packages on top of the donkey, the halacha is you're required to help him, but you are allowed to take work, money for the work. Now, because it's no Tzar Bal Chaim. Then the Gemara brings down the last two words of the Amud and the last two words of page one. Amar Rava Rava says, Medivish name Nilba Tzar Bal Chaim is Deraisa. So we learn from both of them, the two sheets in the Gemara over there, that Tzar Bal Chaim is Deraisa. So the Gemara is coming off the first way, the Gemara understands, Tzar Bal Chaim is Deraisa. The Gemara did not bring a source for it. The Gemara says Tzar Bal Chaim is Deraisa. So the Gemara says further that no, the Gemara is Matzah Deraya, and the Gemara says maybe Tzar Bal Chaim is not Deraisa. In the continuation of the Sugya. The Gemara goes back and forth if Tzar Bal Chaim is Deraisa or not Deraisa. Yeah. One of the rayos the Gemara brings is, let's say it's a goy's animal. Now, if it's a goy's animal and Tzar Bal Chaim is the raisa, should it make a difference? Because if the animal's in pain, who cares who owns the animal? The fact is that animal's in pain. Take a look on page two over there, by the wide lines, the underline over there, Toshma. Behemoth Oved Chachamim Masu Yisrael, if the behemoth of the goy and the load is the yid, the halach is chadalta. Says the Gemara, "V'yamr tzar bal chaim deraisa, amay v'chadalta, ozav tazav mebayalei." So the Gemara over there is asking that if tzar bal chaim deraisa, of course you're mechuyev. I mean, we learn the pasuk says v'chadalta teaches us you're mechuyev. Says the Gemara, why do you need v'chadalta? You have other tazif, and other tazif is good enough. So the Gemara says, "L'olam tzarbal chaim deraisa hasam b'tiina." The Gemara says, "No, over there, it's not speaking about taking it off; it's about putting it on." The point is, the Gemara understands over there. What we just need to learn from there is that if it's a din of tzarbal chaim, a goy's animal wouldn't be any different.
Well, why does it have to be a Jewish load, even a goy's load?
A good question. The good question. That piece. You have to look at the Rishonim, how they explain the Gemara. All what I wanted to bring out is from there is that it's going to be if Tzar Bal Chaim is there, right? So the Gemara is talking about, and if it is, it wouldn't make a difference between a yid and a goy who owns the animal. Mm-hmm. Now, the Gemara says another proof, and that's on the next paragraph by on the top of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph over there. And basically the Gemara gives another proof from still on the bottom of page 2 that if you have an animal that always collapses You're not mechuyev. The Brisa says the top line right there, Ravis le Ravson. Ravis le Emir Tachas Masayv le Mefuruk. Tachas Masayv Masayv Shiyach Ulamid Bay. So it gives a couple of different things of why it's, when it's going to be putter from taking it off.
If it's too heavy, no.
So the Gemara asks, if it's too heavy, you're not required to take it off. The Gemara asks, Vi Amrit Tzar B'Lachayim D'Raisa Mali Ravis Mali Ravson. Let's see it collapses many times. Who cares? It's still Tzar B'Lachayim. Mali Aymed. The Gemara answers, you're right. That Brisa is going to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. The Tzar B'Lachayim is the Rabbanon. So we see over here that the Yisoy, the Sikma Chloik is the Tzar B'Lachayim. Did you say this like a machloikis? Is Tzar B'Lachayim is the Raiso, or Tzar B'Lachayim is the Rabbon? And it goes in the Gemara. Now the question is, how we pass them like? How do we pass them like? It's big naftamina. So let's go digress to another sugya in Shabbos.
But what's the difference? Why the Bechinom and why the Torah Bechah? Wouldn't that prove that Tzar B'Lachayim is the Raiso?
Not really, because you have to look a little bit more in the sugya. I didn't want to go through the whole sugya. I just want to bring out that if the Tzar B'Lachayim is the right, it wouldn't make a difference between a goy or his animal. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos, that's page 3. It's an animal that fell into a ditch, and then you want to get the animal out. What should you do?
Mm-hmm.
So you take it out. The problem is, on Shabbos, you can't. Because animals are mukta. Pets are mukta. So, Mark, I understand you may enjoy your dog, but walking your dog on Shabbos presents serious halachic issues. It presents very serious halachic issues. Because it could be muksa, and you're the tshuva for a Moshe that people want to twist and say he meant this or that. Pets on Shabbos have real serious halachic issues. One has to know how they're allowed to treat their pet, how they're not. So let's see the Gemara over here. Amarav Yehuda Amarav Behema Shenafel Amas Amayim. What do you do if the animal falls into this ditch, this water thing? Maybe Kar Muchtas is Vaniach Tachdal. You take clothes on blankets, you put it underneath. Then also, and if it could get up, it gets up. Someone put something on the bottom so it could get out of the ditch. Like people put cardboard underneath the car, like when it's snowy and icy. And it used to be in the previous century, we actually had snow in the winter. But now due to global warming is not hot anymore. So it's 60 degrees. Says the Gemara, "Meisa vebe mishenav lamas amayim oisla parnasim kaima b'shul shloi tamos." The Gemara says, "No, we see over here that an animal that fell in." The Brisa says, "You could give food over there, but you cannot get the animal to get up." Parnasa in karmuk sas is law. You can't take clothes and blankets to make the animal should be able to prod the animal up. Says the Gemara, "Depends if it could eat down there and survive, then." You cannot give pills and blankets underneath it. And if it's not, then you could give. So the question on that is, the Gemara is going to ask, how can you be mevatel kli mechanai? A very interesting halach on Shabbos. Nullifying a vessel from its use. What does that mean? It's really a steer in Rashi's. Rashi says what the Isser is. But when you take a pillow or a blanket and now you made it, that it can't, it's not going to be able to be used anymore. So you're being mevatel the kli. Give you an example. If you have oil, let's say that's muksa, that falls on a plate, or any something like that. It's something that falls on a plate that's muksa, and now you're not going to be able to use it anymore. So you're ruining the designated use of the keli on Shabbos. That could be a problem on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, and Rashi explains that when you put it underneath, you won't be able to move it. And mevatel mechanai is similar to soiser, to destructing something. Because if you can't use something anymore on Shabbos, you're like destroying it. So the Gemara answers, you're right, it is this rabbinic thing of bittul kli mechanoi, but another place, another Gemara, we have a machlokes in the Matia, if it's the Rabbanon deraisa. Over here we see Tzar Baal Chaim is deraisa, and it takes away a rabbinic issue on Shabbos. The Rif brings this down, this Gemara, the Rif himself, the Shabbos, he brings down Tzar Baal Chaim is deraisa, and the deraisa pushes away the Rabbanon, and therefore it's the situation between Tzar Baal Chaim and the Rabbanon. Tzar Baal Chaim, which is deraisa, is able to push away the Rabbanon. And the Rush, because of this, is matter an animal that has pain from the fact that it wasn't milk. So Elam could see the Rush over here. It's right underneath the Gemara to the left. Right at the end of the paragraph, it brings Rabbeinu Meir. Umater umikan hit the Rabbeinu Meir. From this that we say, Tzar Baal Chaim is deraisa. Shesh roiv chaylev lebehema. When there's too much milk in an animal, Mesa'eret, pain, you can tell the guy to milk the animal. He could take the chalut himself. Tzar Baal Chaim pushes away, telling the guy to do a malacha. Tzar Baal Chaim is a raisa.
He used the milk, did you could still use the milk on Shabbos?
That is what he brings down. Comes along the Gra. The Gra says it's not so pasha. Because the Rambam is paskening that Tzar Baal Chaim is the Rabbanon. And the truth is, it's really a stira in the Rambam itself, which we have to reconcile. However, but before we go to that, because we're not going to get to that Rambam in this year, we want to say a Nemuki Yosef, because this Nemuki Yosef is imperative to understand the next part of the Sugya. The Nemuki Yosef of an art in the Sugya of Bav Metzia, which is right underneath over here, the Rif and the Rush, he brings down like this, Mishum Tzar Baal Chaim, Poskua Goinim, the Goinim. The Goinim came before the Rishonim. And the Goinim writes, not Rinoi Goin, Varav Alphas and the Rif, Karav Adamar Tzar Baal Chaim Deraisa. Vachimucha Barak Mafanen, so he brings down that Tzar Baal Chaim Deraisa, and he brings down the Raya of the Gemara that you're able to do Bittul Kli Mechanei, which is the rabbinic Isser on Shabbos, because of the deraisa of the animal being in pain. Now comes the Muki Yosef and he starts playing around, as we would say. He says there's a difference between much pain and a little pain. Where does he get this idea from? Omiu Davka Bitzar Godol, Abitzar Mutloi.
The problem, you don't know what
he says. Only when it comes to big tzar, but not small tzar. And he brings, I'll bring you a proof. Because he says, if you have a situation of an animal falling into the bar, he brings a case in the Gemara Beya that says that you're not allowed to bring it out of the pit because it's not such a big tzar. And if it would be such a big tzar, you should be able to take it out of the pit. It must be that it's not such a big tzar to take the animal out of the pit.
Mental anguish for the poor animal.
How do you know if the animal feels?
How do you measure that?
In the truth, you're the Rambam, Mr. Shem. Correct.
You know how the doctors ask you, what's your pain level?
How do you measure that? That's relative.
How do you measure how much pain the animal has? What does it mean? You should know it's interesting.
Not only that, but how much pain you allow and how much you don't.
The Rambam in Myron Nevuchim in another place says a very interesting thing, where I believe the Ramban takes issue on it by the case of Shiluach HaKan. The Rambam says that animals have the same rachmanis, emotion of rachmanis, to their children like humans have to their own children. That's what the Rambam writes. So Rambam says it's not a brain thing. But animals have bird brain. They don't have the same type of brain as humans have. Yes, they do things that humans can't do. And they have certain things that we can't understand how they know. However, regarding intellect, it's not the same. The Rambam says humans and animals have the same thing. For that reason, a person has to realize that to not have that act of cruelty, because they're feeling the same thing a human would feel if the child would be ripped away. This is an unbelievable thing that the Rambam says.
I personally didn't see it.
Great question. So the way Shuluch HaKan is supposed to be is that we take eggs because humans are allowed to eat eggs, allowed to eat meat. When you see the eggs, you're allowed to take eggs. The way Shuluch HaKan is, it was the way it was set up was that you see eggs, you want to take the eggs to eat.
If you want it.
So you take the eggs. But you don't want to take the eggs in front of the mother, you send the mother off. Now, think about this. Anytime any chicken or hen, rooster, however you want to call it, forgive me for not knowing that part. Okay, so we have over here the professor from CSI who managed to tell us.
Chicken doesn't fly.
So the point is, those eggs, we're taking away from them. You think they want us to take away their eggs? They don't want it, but that's what we do. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we're allowed to kill animals to eat them. So Shuluch HaKan is the same thing. You're right. Today, you're saying you're just taking your eggs, you're not even eating it. But the truth is, one has to be very, very careful when it comes to emotions. Integrating your emotions with the Torah, because if you don't, and you don't allow the Torah to dictate your emotions, you will have rachmanis to the wrong thing. I'm going to give you a very coarse and hard thing to hear, but this is what the Shulchan Kodesh says. The Shulchan Kodesh teaches in Eicha, Yedei Nashim Rachmaniyos Bishul Yaldeim. The hands of the women that were merciful cooked their children. The pshat is that you had the enemy. Think about the Nazis. They tell the mother, you could have one of the children. You have a minute to choose which child is going to live, which child is going to die. Because the mother had mercy, she doesn't want to choose. Instead of choosing one, the mother couldn't choose and both children died. So, that's a very, very coarse marshal to explain. But let's take today. Today, there are behaviors that people have because of mental issues that people have. Now, if we show mercy because of, and we don't go ahead and say the letter of the law, which is what the Torah says, you will have people doing isurim, prohibitions. So let's take the prohibition. It's something that I've never spoken about so far, but it's kedai to say the prohibition of homosexuality. Homosexuality is a toyeva. Now, the Torah never said a person can't have that emotion, because fact is that if the Torah had to speak about it, it's because there is a unnatural same gender attraction. If the Torah spoke about it, it's because there is such a concept like that. And the Torah is saying, you cannot act on it. The Torah never said you can't have that emotion. The Torah says you can't act. It's a very important thing to understand, a very important distinction to be made. But if we have so much rachmanus on that individual and we say, well, feel bad, because you do feel bad, because the person feels, it's like taking a person who has a healthy opposite gender attraction, telling, it's the same thing. Can you imagine telling a person to torture a person into having, I don't have that type of attraction to the same gender as with the opposite gender. You're forcing me to have something. So a person could lose themselves in the Rachmanis, and because of that, allow things that the Torah asserts. And that's why we have to learn the idea to train ourselves that our emotions have to be al pi Torah. And if you don't train yourself like that, you're not gonna know how to use the idea of cruelty. Is a me that's very important. Who suffered from this? Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, kill out Amalek. Now, I'm going to challenge you, Zabel, right now to something. Because you said something, so I will say something. You saw a beautiful four-year-old little girl, pretty, and blonde hair, blue eyes. And you were given a task by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kill out the Amalekim, and she is an Amaleki girl. Well, you have the ability to take a gun and shoot her in the head. Well, that's exactly what happened to Shaul HaMelech. Now, to say that Shaul HaMelech had our emotions, no. Because Shaul HaMelech was a person Shaul was like a ben shana, which means the Gemara says he died like a year old. He didn't do any chet. What does that mean? He didn't do any chet. He tried to kill David. David HaMelech made a tremendous hesped. We don't even can't begin to understand the what happened over there during Nach. But Shaul lost the kingdom early because he didn't kill Amalek, but he had Rachmanis. But shouldn't he have Rachmanis? Not now. Emotions have to be Alpi Torah. And give you another example. We spoke about this, but we have to say it again. Important thing to know. As this has come from the Chazon Ish, you have a school, a new school that opens up in the community. There's an old school. The old school says, school A says, how dare a new school open up in our community, taking away our business? You have Hasagas Gevul, the Hasagas Gevul thing. By the way, most Hasagas Gevul shilas are bullies who are trying to not allow people to be able to have healthy competition. It's wrong. It's not right. As we'll see what the Chazon Ish says. The Chazon Ish writes a letter that the old school said to the new school, you're being right of us. You're right of us. We had a school in this community for 30 years, and you're coming and how dare you? Says the Chazon Ish, you always have to know who's the right of and who's the nerdah. Because if halacha allows the new school to open up, and which the Chazon Ish proceeds to show that the halacha says when it comes to Torah, there's no such thing of Asagas Chivu. There's no such thing. Torah, you're allowed to open up. Yeshiva, you're allowed to open up. No problem. Says the Chazon Ish, yes, do you know who's being right of who? The old school is being right of the new school. Because if Allah allows you to open up the school. Now, we're not getting here into halakha l'maisa, yes, no, especially in this community. But just understand that we have to look at things in a Torah lens. If we don't, we're going to allow things. Think about the mashal, like the parents who are afraid to stand up to their children. And they're afraid to tell them. There are people who don't tell their kids proper, even eating healthy habits. They don't tell the kids to get off the phone. And their kids, they're on their phones 4 or 5 hours a night with just frying the brains. As I said over the maisa, the person by the jewelry store by the mall, he tells me, oh, yeah, you rabbi, how are you? I said, how are you? He's like, you have children? I'm like, sure. I'm like, do you have a child, children? He says, yeah, I have a daughter. How's she doing? She's on her phone all day. I said, okay, well, what's she doing? On her phone. Do you ever tell her to get off? Yeah. And I tell her, please read something. Reading something, you know, reading one of those books. I wouldn't even let my kids go two miles close to the book that he was telling his daughter to read. But he's telling her, you know what my daughter tells me, the man says? Daddy, if you loved me, you wouldn't tell me to read. So when we have misplaced Rachmanis, that's what we get. We get people with mental issues allowed to be stayed on the streets. We have criminals out of jail killing people. We have rapists raping people because we don't know how to have a backbone. That's where, and it starts from a little thing. Going against, and that's where the Torah comes in, telling us what type of Rachmanis we have to have. That's the danger of the people being vegan. Now, I'm not saying that having too much meat is having a lot of meat is healthy. Although one can argue, there's different arguments out there with the different diets. You could go search on all the phones to know that there are certain diets that say eat a lot of meat. But to understand, and why do you think we have to know that there's a musug, and that the Torah allows us to shech the animals. If you look at an animal, the animal is dying, crying. I will soon see in the Gemara that says a mice like that. Crying, he does not want to die. You can take a knife and kill it. As the Torah says, you're allowed to kill it.
And therefore,
every carbon.
Fish also, because we come first over the animals.
The least amount of pain, but we still shech. So now, setting up a mouse trap before Shabbos is going to be fine. Setting up a mouse trap on Shabbos, not next to the, that's where it's going to be a question of the right to the Rabbanan, how close it is to the animal places brings down the Shabbos. However, I didn't mean to digress so much. I meant to give a certain thing. Now, let's see what the Muki Yosef asked. The Muki Yosef said there isn't been big time and small time. Ask the Muki Yosef Itema, the Chima the Tzarba Achaim the Raisa, Zakam Eino Levichvoy the Lama Eino Poyer. Ask the Muki Yosef a bomb question. That it's Mavur in the Sugya, that a Zakam Eino Levichvoy is not required to go ahead and undo the animal. That's by an Aveda. Right, and we learn out that when it comes to a Zakim, he's not Mechuyev, fret the Nemuke Yosef, but it's a Dairaisa. How could he not do the Dairaisa? It's Abachai and Dairaisa. Answers the Nemuke Yosef. He says an unbelievable thing. The tears are Ramban. The Zakim like Kana Chachma Dafka Kamrinan. Duadil Muhammad. It doesn't mean Mamish a Zakim over here. It doesn't mean Zakim means Zesha Kana Chachma. That's what Zakim is. It's anybody who's an honorable person. Zamrinan Kosher Vishulai Perik Vatayim Shakaveri Nami. Udata Raman Perkid Al Bokhus Zela. Alahaka Kivin Tabal Chaim Hotel Tashmir Shalm Ne Adam Koshkin Lakvoidam Shalva Tasa the God of Kvoidabriyat. Says the Muki Yosef. It doesn't actually mean that you have to be a Talmud Chacham. Anybody who is beneath his honor to go ahead and take off the thing, he's not required to. Because I am not mechuyev to put myself in an uncomfortable state, even though Tzar Bala Chaim is Daraisa. Because animals are for my use. And my covet comes before the animal's pain. My covet comes before the animal's pain. And therefore, I'm not required. And the animal could go ahead and be sitting there suffering, but I'm not ready to go ahead and go in the mud and get dirty because the animal's suffering. And yes, my covet comes before the animal's pain. My discomfort comes before the animal's discomfort. And this is a very important thing. And that has nothing to do with a mamish zakin, even though the Gemara says zakin, but it's not just a zakin, it's anybody who has a certain shtalt and is not interested in having to go ahead and make themselves feel in any way demeaned by being pirate to animals. So the aside over here that we're extrapolating from the Nemuki Yosef is that Tzar Bala Chaim, although it's a Dairaisa, is nitche, is pushed away for the use of a person.
Therefore, fishing is allowed.
Comes along later and says, wait, if that's the extent, then fishing should be allowed. Meaning, the question is, this that we say that it's for the use of the person, so the Nemuki Yosef is talking about that I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be in a state of discomfort by taking away the Tzar Bala Chaim of the animal. That. But what about to give me pleasure? Is that permitted as well? Let's say I want to fish to give me pleasure. Let's say I have pleasure from taking a cat and chopping off its leg. I take pleasure in that. are we going to say
that
that's mutter because it's my pleasure?
That's different.
I take pleasure in fishing.
Not the fishing is a pleasure.
I take pleasure in hunting.
The fish and eating
them. Now,
what if you don't want to eat it?
What
if you don't want
to
eat it?
Then you're not allowed to fish. And they're just for fishing, don't.
No. Yeah, I'm allergic to fish.
No,
but I like fishing.
They're not for fishing,
fish
just
competition.
You're for fishing for the fish.
Sport.
It's a sport. So the question is enjoyable. Is there any different? It is enjoyable. So this that we're saying that people, we clearly see from the Muki Yosef, which this is the basis to start the sugya of knowing when it's going to be mutter, that a person's covet comes before the animal's covet, hands down. The question is that discomfort of the person. What about pleasure of the person? Sport. Is there anything, any difference between killing a beer that you're going to kill it, you're not going to eat it, and hunting, you're putting your head on the wall, so you're using it.
No. Just for your pleasure.
Sport.
For your eating, for your enjoyment, yes. Purpose, for example, you can use for your enjoyment. You should be able to use the purpose.
So it's late, Rabbi Yisai. We're going to have to continue, Amit Hashem, next week. Next week is we're going to get to the famous Igros Moshe, which speaks about killing gnats, beetles, stuff that are bothering you. If you're allowed to, if you're not allowed to, especially if they grate on your ears.
If you're not going to eat the fish, if you're not going to eat the fish.
Then I would say no.
So we needed to start off with the Yisoidus. We're going to see it's not so partial. We're going to see that perhaps the Lady Yehuda is going to be matar you hunting even for pleasure. So we're going to have to go through that sugya. He may say that it's not a Yiddish Hazak, but we have to see how far we could stretch this covet of a person. That's going to be the basis. And with that, we're going to end the shiur this week. We're going to leaving you on a cliffhanger, which is a good zak for next week. From the Fanani, Benetash, Emer, Rasa, Kodesh, Baruch Hu, Zak, Tei, 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 Tei,